Bezal Shem Mizvoch, we begin Paragavir, the fourth chapter in the Rambam Sechel Shechem, the laws of neighbors in the Sefer Kinyan Book of Acquisitions, where we finish off the discussion from the previous parakim regarding the rights and the division between two neighbors, where in this parak we discuss regarding the taking care of things in a duplex, in a two-story building, and also regarding neighboring fields. As Rambam gets a lochal regarding what happens if the building collapses when it's a duplex, a two-story building. So, someone had an upper story above the house of his friend on the first floor. For example, let's say two brothers divide a father's house. One gets the first story and one gets the second story. So, if another kaisel mekasei bayis, if one of the walls of the house collapses, so ein bal ha'aliyah, so that's from the first story. So, the son lives on this upper story. He's not nice and like klum b'yitzias, he doesn't have to pay anything for the expenses, because it has nothing to do with him. He lives on the second story, and the walls from the first story collapses. And to the contrary, he actually can force the owner of the house to build it as it originally was, because that's what supports his house, which is on the second story. Avobot, in balabayis, but the owner of the first story cannot be kovel balaliyah. He can't force the person on the upper story, libnis kovel aliyah shenafel, to rebuild the wall of the upper story that fell apart, because that doesn't affect him. His house is still as it is. Now, regarding the roof of the first story, which is also the floor of the second story, in other words, the first story homeowner, he has to fix it because it's part of the bayis, not the aliyah, not the second story. But that's the mortar and the earth that spread on the roof like a floor for the upper story, that's the responsibility of the person of the second story. Let's say they both collapsed. Habayis v'aliyah, the first story and the second story, and they don't want to rebuild it. Harishneim cholkim beitzim avavonim avaafa. They both divide all the wood and the stone and the earth that's from the collapsed building. Now, then the shtabru mixes avonim. Now, let's say if only some of the stones broke. So, doyin ezeru ilishtabru. We see which are the types of stones that fit to break to figure out im avne habayis or avne aliyah. Are they the broken stones from the first story or from the second story? This is well known from how it falls, how it collapsed. If the upper stones fell on the low ones and that's how it was demolished, which then it's actually the upper ones who break, was it that the low ones slipped out and the upper ones fell and that's how it got destroyed, then it's the low ones who break. And then you could tell, so which one are the broken stones from? You cannot tell if you don't know how did fall. Then you divide equally the intact and the broken stones between the upper story and the lower story inhabitants. Let's say the owner of the second story said to the owner of the first story to rebuild with the responsibility of the first story person. It's his own responsibility. And the reason is Kadesh Yivna Aliyas Al-Gabav. He wants to rebuild his upper story, which he could only build his second story if the first story rebuilds. But when he writes, and the first story person doesn't want to rebuild. Haribala Aliyah, Bainas Abayas Kishai. So the owner of the second story could rebuild the first floor as it was. The Yeshiva Darbatecha, he could sit and dwell in that first story. Adash Yitin Kalitz Yasim until the Balabayas gives all the expenses. And he doesn't have to pay rent for him during that period of time because the first story is responsible to the second story, because that's to take it back as it was, and only when the first person, the first floor person, pays the expenses, then the second story leaves, and then he builds the second story, if he wants to, but the first story has responsibility to the second story individual. Now, neither one of them could rebuild, because they don't have enough sufficient funds. Then Balaliyah Nitl Shlisha Karka, so then the owner of the upper story, he takes a third of the property. And the owner of the first story takes two-thirds. And the reason for that is because the house, let's say, would have lasted 90 years. But it only lasts 60 years because of the weight of the upper story. So it comes out that a third of the longevity is consumed by the owner of the upper story. And therefore, it's like he has a third in the rights of the property. Halacha hey, rotza balabais libnes basic. Let's say the owner of the first story wants to rebuild this house. So bainik shahi, he has to rebuild it as it was. He's not allowed to diminish from the measurements of the strength of the structure. Now, vimbolashan is making some. Let's say he wants to make some changes to the walls once he's rebuilding. So in chizik oisam, if he's strengthening them, the hirba b'rachbam, and he's expanding its width, yisim ha'shalim more than it was, shashem alidim, and listen to him, because if anything, it's making it better for the upper story. Rotz l'maig b'rachbam, let's say he wants to diminish their width, l'ifchis m'chaz kamo, to diminish from its strength, k'gon shayi avanim, let's say they were stones. U'vikash l'achz l'levayin, wants to rebuild it as bricks. Okay, some of the things like that are going to diminish its strength. In general, we don't listen to him. Balashan, this is a tikkun. Let's say he's coming to change the beams. L'kayis kved mechazakim, to heavy and stronger beams. Okay, Shemalei will listen to him. But l'ifchis b'rachban, pachis mashayu, but to diminish their width less than what they were, in general, we don't listen to him. So to a Hebrew b'chaloinis, if he's increasing windows, which that takes away from the strength of the structure, it's empty spaces. So he's adding on to the height of the first story, where a lower is stronger, in Shemalei we don't listen to him because he's diminishing the strength. Meet Bachalins, but if you're making less windows, or you should meet Bugabai, so he's diminishing the height of the first story, then Shemalei would listen to him. And the Chen Sim go in the reverse. Baal Aliyah, the owner of the second story. Baina Isa Imratza, he could rebuild if he wants, so, but it has to be Kisha Haisa, like it was. And that is the Imbalishan Saiksal Harchabal Haqzik. Now, if he wants to make some changes to the walls, he wants to widen it, he wants to strengthen it, ain't Shemalei, then we don't listen to him, in contrast to the first story, because the stronger he's making it, the more it's going to weigh down on the walls of the first story, which is detrimental. But to make it actually less strong or less wide, then Shemalei, then we actually listen to him. And the Chembekoides Tikrali, and so too regarding the beams of the upper roof. If he makes it less to lighter than what it was, Shemalei will listen to him. To make it heavier, then Shemalei, we don't listen to him. So he's adding on windows, or he's diminishing from the height of the upper story. Shemalei, we listen to him because it's less weight. But if let's say he's diminishing the windows or he's making it higher, then again, it's increasing more weight. And Shemalei, then we don't listen to him because of what it's going to do to the person on the first story. Lachalav continues a related discussion regarding if, let's say, the ceiling starts caving in from the first story. So in this, if the beams of the house are starting to get shaky, the Yordul Arabais is going down into the airspace of the first story. So it's within 10 tefachim from the ground, where a person cannot dwell in the area where the ceiling is less than 10 tefachim high. So the person on the second story cannot kick him out of his house. So they demolish the ceiling, and they rebuild it, where the owner of the first floor is going to pay for the ceiling, and the owner of the second story is going to pay for his floor. Now, let's say it didn't reach to within 10 tefachim, then the owner of the second story could stop and say, I don't want to ruin your ceiling, which is my floor. And even if the owner of the first story tells him, look, on the Eskel Chamakim, don't worry, I'll rent for you a place, because they should tell the way that you could dwell in until I fix the roof. And Shemalei, we don't listen to him. Because the second story person could tell him, I don't want you, I should go through the effort to go from place to place, because that you're going to fix your house. Let's say they actually made a stipulation on this. When they divided, they made up that if the ceiling caves in, they're going to rebuild it. Now, so this still depends. If it remains for the height of the first story, that a person could take a medium-sized bundle on his head, and he could still walk in beneath these beams that are starting to bend, well, even though they made up, that's not enough of caving in, and you can't demolish the ceiling. But if let's say he cannot enter into the house until he's going to have to bend his head, then he demolishes the ceiling, he fixes it, and he rebuilds. And the person from the second story cannot hold back, because again, they made up that if it caves in, and that's considered caving in, that he's going to be allowed to rebuild the ceiling. Halacha ches. Beis Habad, an olive press, that's built in the thickness of a mountain. The gina achas al gabav, and there's a garden on top of that, in a way that the roof of the olive press is the ground of the garden, because on the mountain you can have such a thing where you're having what's on top is a garden could be on top of the olive press. Now, v'nifchesu shmei beis habad, so to speak, the sky, but it means the roof of the olive press got diminished, karba tochma yaser, like an area of 4 handbreadth or more, and the garden's on top. So the garden's floor is the olive press's ceiling, and that's caving in. So hare balagina yared v'zirei lamata, so very similar to what we have with the two stories of the house. The owner of the garden could come down and plant on the bottom in where the olive press would be. Actually, yes, it's a base bad until this guy makes for the area of his olive press, keeping arches. And then the upper one will fix the ground of his garden. And then he'll plant his garden. Until he does, he can go down and plant in the where the person's base abad was. Halachah continues regarding a similar type of a case regarding when there are sprouts between these between two gardens. So shtei ganei zu al gabei zu. Let's say have two gardens, one on top of the other, where they are near each other in the slope of a mountain, and one of the grounds are higher than the other one. Vayerek bin time. Now you have vegetables growing between them, but goiva avi ha'arez b'neim, in the height of the thickness of the ground that's between them, which you could have on a mountain on a slope. So the question is, whose sprouts does it belong to? It's between the two of them. So kol she'elyin yochel lifshed es yadi, as long as the upper one could stretch out his hand, v'lit lois in the car, to take it from its roots, hadei sholei, that belongs to the upper one. B'vachli yenis es asim, because that's his ground, which generally you plant in the ground. B'vachli yenis es asim, as long as he's not pushing himself that dangerously to try to reach that root. V'hashah shaltach, and the rest, which he can't reach, belongs to the lower one. Hay megilo noifoi v'in megilo kar. Let's say he can reach the branch, but he cannot reach the roots. L'itil elyin, then the upper one should not take it. But if he did take it, since it's not clear, we don't remove it from him. But regarding a tree that grows on the boundary between them, even though it's leaning into the field of one of them, they both are going to divide from its produce, because since it's nurturing from the ground of both of them, they both share it equally. Halachit continues regarding verifying the claims between the owner of the ground and the owner of the tree. So shatav noras zeisa. What happens if a river floods a person's olive tree? And he replants it in his friend's field. And that person says, "Zaisa ani naital. I want to take back my olive tree." Ain't shemalim. We don't listen to him. Shum yishvar. It's because of the settling of the land of Israel. Eliyam to become rather remains where it is now in that person's field. Now v'makadam hanara b'gushem kishes salam. Now, if the river uprooted the olive tree with its clods of earth when they replanted it, which that's around the tree, and had it not even replanted in the friend's field, it could have survived with the earth that it took with it from that original person's field. So yichal kapers. In this case, they divide the fruits of this olive tree. Balasadim, balazesim, the owner of the field where it got replanted, and the owner of the olive tree where it came from. And that's kol shal shalim for all that first 3 years. Because even though it could survive from the clods of earth itself, but however, it couldn't have grown, at least, produce without the field of this person. And without the clods, it would be forbidden because of Arla for the first 3 years, so therefore they get to divide it equally. After 3 years, hakula balasad, then it all belongs to the owner of the field, because the owner of the field could tell the owner of the olive tree, had I planted it 3 years before, wouldn't I be able to eat it now on my own? So it doesn't need the owner of the tree. Now, v'mloy nekru b'gushem, if it didn't get uprooted with the clods, without earth, it came without earth from the original field, hakola bala karka miyad, then everything belongs to the owner of the field right away, because since it got uprooted without the gush of the karka, so it's like a movable item, and the owner of the field acquires it with, like, the laws of Yish, where it's like zuta shiyam, where the river takes it away, it's automatically the person gives up hope, and it's like hefker, and therefore the owner of the karka acquires it right away. And that's just talking about regarding the wood itself, but obviously the pears are going to be usser for the first 3 years as arlo, because it's like considered a new planting. Halacha yirav koyetze by simile. In other words, just like we said that after 3 years it belongs totally to the owner of the field, so too in the following case everything belongs to the owner of the field. Hamoicha zeisav leitzim. Someone sells his olive tree for the wood. Someone wants olive wood. So in pasuk imelokas meyad. If he made up with him, okay, he's going to cut it down right away and he's going to use the wood. So kalapeir shayasu. So all the produce that it does make up until that point, harin lebalakarka, belongs to the owner of the ground. He never sold him the pears. But if he made it with him that he could cut it down whenever he wants to, then call up any produce that comes out of it, the owner of the tree, because he bought the tree. Now the produce coming from the tree, he gets to take that. Mocher stam, let's say sold him without specifying when or what. So if it makes less than a revius, which then the owners are not so particular, if it makes less than a quarter lissa'ah, for a saw, which is pretty inferior, that a saw from it will not produce more than a quarter of a leg of oil. So if it's making less than a quarter of a leg of oil for a saw, chutz min hatzah, except for the expenses, hadeil shabala zeisim. So that belongs to the owner of the olive tree. Because since it's so inferior, the owner of the ground is not so particular about those olives, and he lets that guy who bought the tree to keep it for himself. But asr devis lasaw chutz min hatzah, but if it makes a quarter of a leg of oil for a saw, besides for the expenses, so that's something significant. So then they have to divide that. Because both of them have a portion. This one says, it's my olive tree. And this one says, well, it's my ground. And therefore, they divide the pears.